Once again, we give you praise, O great King. We thank you for the privilege of your grace and the privilege to be numbered in you. Tonight, we ask that you release that aspect of your presence that is soft, that is tender, but yet capable and deep. And let it cover this environment and let everyone be filled with your grace, ready to stand for you in their various facets of human endeavor. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Well, Pastor Austin is my spiritual son, but he's a friend. There are some of Raka is my friend, right? Yeah, no, I don't know. So, I appreciate it. So we were talking this morning, and some people almost had a heart attack because of the gravity of the issues that we were trying to put forth. Spirituality is something that if you have someone that is spiritual in darkness, we know because of the denominators. There are similarities, there are laws. You can't say that you are a spiritual man and you don't understand the place of sacrifice. David sent some functionaries. I think we should check it out in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22. Second Samuel 23 from verse number 14. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. You see, in order for you to do what David did, you must have been educated in the things of the Spirit. Now, let me give you an insight. He poured it out unto the Lord, and what did he say? He said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this." They do this, he's talking about, is to drink the water. It's not this, I'm talking about the water. The blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives, therefore, he would not drink it. It's not this. At what point did the water become blood? It is spiritual knowledge that will equip you with that aspect. David had a desire, and his desire was to drink the water that came from the well in his village. At that time, the Philistines had confiscated that part of Israel. Bethlehem was under the watch of the Philistine garrison. They camped there. That means village life in that vicinity had ceased because of the military occupation. And somehow David just desired and said, "Okay, I want to drink water from the well in my village." It takes 5 years to raise a legionnaire, someone that can use the spear, the sword, and the shield effectively. And as at the time of this scripture, these guys have been in training for 12 years. And they had no opportunity to test their skills. So David's desire translated to marching orders. For every believer that is accurate, the desires of Jesus should translate to your own marching orders. The point is, what is Jesus longing for? It's on the strength of the longing of their master that they were willing to jeopardize their life. You will not have this kind of lifestyle with respect to God except you have encountered God face to face. To be able to let your life be at risk just to satisfy a longing that is sustained on the heart of God. So the guys went down. And I don't want to bother you with all the details of the complications around securing water. Because as at the time one of the individuals will be reaching out down the well to get water, there will be one man down, so only two guys to fight the garrison. Technically, a garrison is a legion. It consists of either 2,000 to 12,000 soldiers. In order for it to qualify to be a legion, it must be 2,000 and above. So imagine three men against 2,000. And then at some point in the combat, one man will be down because he has to get water. And when that man that is trying to get water succeeds in getting water, he's no longer supposed to be in the battle because he's protecting the water. By what means did these three men succeed in this task? It was a task that looked more like sacrifice than obedience. And when they brought the water and brought it back to David, David refused to drink it. Based on the spiritual knowledge that was captured in his training, he knew that the value of that water from the spirit realm was equivalent to the sacrifice that was used to draw it. And the sacrifice was blood. If he had drank of that water, he would have been guilty of trespass. It's only the spirit realm that can understand the implication of that kind of water at that point. So he poured it out as a libation. Many of us, because of lack of spiritual knowledge, are likely to drink that water. Are you still with me? We need to go back into the reality of what it means to live a spiritual life. So, in understanding what spiritual life is about, the first item that we need to consider is the understanding of the sacrifices that are needed to accomplish such things as have the capacity to fulfill or to satisfy God's desire. How many of you still remember what Jesus said, the education that Jesus brought to Brother Ananias in Damascus? In order to bring him up to date, he published an update about Paul, that in his calling, in his destiny, he will get to realize the things that he needs to suffer in order for him to serve the will of God. For some of you ladies here, even though the average lady wants a peaceful home, for some of you ladies, the reason why God sent you to that family was not because of a peaceful home. He just wanted to raise godly seed from that lineage that had been sold to darkness. And you are the vehicle through which that will happen. Because God wants an inheritance from every lineage. Oh, you have not seen the scripture that Paul quoted in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Wait now. What is the original scripture? In the book of Psalms, what? 68, in the book of Psalm 68. Let's check the original scripture that Paul was quoting. Are you there in Psalms? What verse is that? Okay. So thou, I'm talking about Psalm 68 verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. I think we should start one after the other. First is that thou ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. So let's put that first, because that one took place before the ascension. When he say he led captivity captive, it means he went into hell and liberated them that are in captivity. They were in captivity to the ultimate captor of all humankind. Are you there? How did he achieve that? The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 9 that it's only the wicked that should be turned into hell. So I don't know by what means Satan admitted Jesus into hell. I don't know what blinded him. Admitted Jesus. Meanwhile, the Bible said there was no guile in him. There was no wickedness found in him. He was not supposed to be in that location. But he was admitted. Probably Satan was blindfolded because of his wickedness, and he did not take thought of the implication, the legalities. He admitted Jesus into hell. So he went into captivity. And the captivity that he went into, you must understand that overhead, God was in charge of the balances of justice, of judgment, and equity. And as he was suffering there, the calculation as to the implication or the spiritual currency that is being generated by his suffering was being calculated in heaven. It took 3 days of human time to accumulate a value for that currency that is sufficient to cater for all the needs of spiritual charges against humankind. Those are deep matters that we cannot understand on earth. The dynamics of the justice system of heaven, they are deeper than what we have access to in scripture. Hallelujah. But you see, Jesus was being punished for what he was not guilty for. And in the structure of legality, that particular punishment has a certain value. It is that value that we are cashing in on by reason of the pathway of possibility that grace has now created. So he went to the place of the captives held by the ultimate captor, and by reason of the manipulation of justice, judgment, and equity, death and the holding house of the underworld could not hold him captive forever. And so death had to give him up. But unfortunately for Satan, a pattern has already been created of resurrection. And Satan never envisaged that anyone that drifts into the underworld can still experience the victory of manifesting from the grave and from proving that his entities underworld have been discomfited. Satan was the first hope in that. Jesus was the first hope, first from the dead, first to be recovered. And the same body that went down that grave was the same body that was living with evidence. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
But it was no longer powered by flesh and blood. Something superior to flesh and blood had taken. But we'll look into all those Bible studies, all those things. You will see some titles Jesus was called before the cross and after the cross. Are you there? So he went into the place of the captors and he created legal currency. And when it was verified that the underworld could no longer hold him captive, he was set at liberty, creating a pattern for all them that believe in him. Right? Then he now ascended into the heavenlies. I was thinking that now that he had risen from the dead, and it was in that event that he was able to retrieve the key of hell and the key of death. If you have read the book of Revelation chapter 1. I was thinking that he would just hand all the things he had acquired out upon his resurrection. That was not what he did. What he did was that he went into the heavens first. He released gifts when he was in an ascended mode. Now, the reason why he did not release the gift in resurrection, and he released the gift in ascension. I hope you know that resurrection is the reason. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
You are there?
Yes, sir.
So the Bible says that if the spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, so is the same power that is responsible for his resurrection that is the operating system of the Christian life. That means that power has authority over death. And death is the most terrible situation that can befall a man. And the cure to death is what powers your life. That is the basis of the doctrine of the victorious life. That which was tested with death and found to have the capacity to subdue death and to override the authority of death is the same principle that is available to us as the platform of our new life source in the new creation. It was not in resurrection that he gave us gifts. The power of resurrection is the principle of life that we have now. You get that? Oh. That's where Watchman Nee wrote. That's why Watchman Nee wrote a book called The Overcoming Life. That's the meaning of that book. The very resource that was used in heaven to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, to reverse death, to reverse the protocols of death, and to bring someone that was reported dead out of the underworld. That power must have discomfited the gatekeepers and the security structures in that realm, in order for him to create a pattern that had never happened before. So that means Jesus, as the resurrection, is the only one that has the authority to decree who should rise from the dead. Because he was faced with the same power and he discomfited it. He has more authority than it. So if you want to secure your life beyond this realm, parley with Jesus. Please help me tell your neighbor, parley with Jesus. I don't have time today because I'm online, so I would have caused one trouble, but I'm online. I would have turned my face to the religion of the bondwood man and given you an analysis, a very wonderful analysis of their faith. All right? The reason why, if you talk about their faith, they'll use magic is because if you investigate it, it is incoherent. That's why. It's incoherent, it doesn't balance out. Any logical person will not stay there. Do you understand it? Okay, let me not trouble you today. But one day we'll do something offline so that I can speak plainly, and you'll be amazed. Because we have gone to check the historical account, and we found out that the events that they claimed happened in the wrong place and at the wrong time. I can prove it to you. That means the book is a lie. You know, history has a time element. Oh, you don't understand. The gospel has a threefold dimension, the gospel. The first aspect of the gospel is that it is rooted in history. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose according to the scriptures. It is documented. It's historical. So if the gospel were not historical, it would be a lie. And part of the sociological evidences to back up scripture was that Jews were the first followers of Jesus Christ after his death. Huh? Jews don't convert. They are in custody of the oldest religion known to man. They don't convert. You convert to join them. They don't convert to join you. Are you with me? Jews became that, you know, the original conclave of 12, they were Jews. Do you remember that in the book of Acts chapter 6, that would have qualified him for that domain? So they could not hold him according to justice. So he had to be released. But unfortunately for Satan, the price he paid there is still in limbo. It's still currency. And any man that believes in him, that price can be imputed to him. So he will not have an accommodation and in the underworld again. You get that? So when he came, he rose from the dead. His being risen from the dead is the reason why we can be quickened. That's the dimension of the quickening spirit was commissioned. And so, are you there? The same power that raised him from the dead becomes the operating system for our Christian life, setting us on a pedestal of victory. If you know how to engage that life, you can survive anything. You can survive complications, like my sister was talking about. We that our own case is complicated. That ability that is resident in your spirit has enough capacity to handle complications and issues that are a departure from the norm, and it has capacity to bring it into alignment, into conformity, to command compliance. But you see, Jesus did not release the gifts he had secured from here. He had to go into heaven before he now released the gifts unto men. Why is that? Don't forget that it was Apostle Paul that revealed to us that the place where Jesus is sitting, the domain, the realm where he's sitting, is far above principalities and power. Paul seems to be suggesting that the authority you exercise here is consistent with the height in the heavens from whence you operate. So there is a height matter in this thing. Because spiritual wickedness is also domiciled in the heavenly realms. Are you with me? Yeah, it's also domiciled in the heavenly realms, but there is a throne, there's an administration that issues far above principalities and powers. In order to secure that we have requisite authority to tame the devil, to master his schemes, to put him under check, he had to go into the heavenlies and release those gifts as articles of ascension, having the same quality of far above principalities and powers. Are you there? So your calling came from that ascended place. If you exercise your calling, you are going to see, in your calling, you are going to see victory over the devil. Because it came from where? If you exercise the anointing that is on your life, the anointing on your life is going to tell the old story, how Satan had been defeated, and it will reveal the supremacy of our designation over and above demons and devils. Just your calling. Every gift that comes from the ascended layer has the ability to reveal Satan's inferior position. Because it is coming from far above where? Now you are following. Can I press further? Within the limits of my own Bible study, I found 7 of such gifts that Jesus gave from that place. And if you walk in these gifts, you are supposed to provide the evidence of victory over the schemes of demons. Now, you see, are you with me? I want you to understand that it is not as if the devil goes on break, becomes sick, takes a sabbatical. We are saying, in spite of Satan, God left Satan. What he did is that he walked on you and then gave you capacity. and gave you resources for you to operate as if Satan does not exist. So, but he did not deal with Satan. It's not time for that to happen. But we can operate in spite of Satan. You see, there are abilities that are locked up in the grace of God that are designed, they are poised to pedestal you in a position where it's as if Satan does not exist. And so, sister, where is that my comrade? We in the on the complicated axis. All right, okay, she's at the back there. I'll soon move you from there, so because I'll be talking to you very frequently in this meeting. So it doesn't matter your own complication. Maybe, yes, we cannot deny that inheritance is a valid spiritual principle. Inheritance. You've heard my teaching now. I don't want to go into issue. Okay, it was Jesus that said, I've called you to reap where you have not sown, to straw where you have not bestowed labor. That is inheritance. That's the only scenario where you can reap without sowing. That's the only scenario where you can straw without bestowing labor. It's inheritance. So inheritance is a valid principle of the spirit. And so people can contact some negative possibilities by inheritance. So one of the legalities that uproots the foundation of inheritance is that in Christ, your old man that is in that family, that's your family, the old man that receives inheritance from that physical lineage, damage was done to him, and you were grafted into a new lineage. So that's what, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation, is all about. It's a new lineage that you are grafted in. So the context of your existence is not after the natural platform. All right? Now, it means that your essence should derive from this new context. So the limitations that you are seeing and those symptoms are evidence to the fact that Satan is pressing charges to insist that this will be your reality. But you see, the moment you stumble into divine revelation and then you know your context, you now discover that technically you are not rooted into that place. So you have a case in court, a valid case in court. And that situation is a legal matter. Except you begin to exercise your spirit to insist that what you are seeing here is not your destiny, that thing will remain until it is transmitted to another generation. So it will take a man of sufficient stature to arise and to reject those symptoms. Because the way you fight battles legally is different from the way battles are fought on the war front. Are you with me? It's different. Legal battles derive from an understanding of the constitution and an enlightenment to know your position of liberty. Then there are arguments, there are procedures, you press charges. And that's a very technical activity. It's a very technical activity. So you keep on pressing, you keep on pressing. She keep on pressing. Okay, she said it herself that the intensity of the complications are beginning to. Yeah, that's how in most cases deliverance is something that is gradual. It's a process of recovery in most cases, and that's why I was telling you that what is written in the textbook, which is the Bible, sometimes when you go to the theater, you'll find some departures from prescription. But it doesn't invalidate the procedure. The procedure is still a guideline. It's still a pointer to show you how, if you are able to arrest the complication, it's because you had a guideline in the first place. So Jesus ascended into the heavens, and then from there he gave what? Gifts unto me. This is what the real Psalm says. Because if it's the presentation by Apostle Paul ends, he gave gifts unto men. But the psalmist said, yea, he told us the reason why he gave those gifts. He said, for the rebellious also, so even the people that are not serving God, Jehovah secured gifts for those families. He's waiting for just one member of that family to align then there will be a collocation of the gifts meant for that family. That person will become an if it were other days, you would have picked that song. No. You have already. Don't sing. Oh, Jesus. I think I need to have a retreat with the choir. You don't. You kill my spirit when you. I don't need to hear your voice. Just say it. I don't need to know who is singing, whether it's Hephzibah's mother or. No. There is nothing he cannot do. Come and see the Lord is. I know you sang the song on your wedding day. But what God was doing on that, it was the will of God for you to give birth to the son, the child, the daughter, that will end that priesthood. That's what God had in mind. Not a happy home. Oh, you are not aware that the path that leads to redemption is not peaceful. I know you want, you know, you're in Lagos. You'll be able to come on Facebook with your wife and like this. Hear that too, as the Lord helped us. Ebenezer. They are more. They are deeper matters than your selfie, than your idea of tranquility that are at work here. Sister, there are deeper matters. You need to sit down. Some of these issues that I'm raising, I'm just showing you the bigger picture. It's beyond you. The whole graph, the graph of God's eternal purpose. We are just existing as very minute portions of that whole graph. Do you realize how many generations have wasted just to secure the graph? Thousands of men. Okay, for instance, how will somebody like Benson Naosa die? Why? When this fall came, the fall of man, there would have been seven bitter colas that God kept for eternal life. Some people should not die. So when he notices that you are very serious, you say, this bitter cola, I kept it. I kept this cola. Eh? When you take it, you will not die again. They should have given you the other one. It's a bigger picture. It's bigger than time, bigger than your comfort, bigger than you being on in Sun City naked running as with your husband. May the Lord give you. Oh, sorry for afflicting you with my body. Maybe it's my own problem that I'm coming to. It's bigger than that. It's even among the rebellious I have gifts. So I smuggled you into that family. They were doomed forever. I used your womb as an excuse because they want children. But they were not aware that any child that passes through that womb will be sanctified. They tried to use witchcraft to kill you, but you were on assignment. So there was an anointing that protected you. It preserved you. You are not seeing that. What you are seeing is that the last time they bought you lace was... There is nothing you cannot do. Come and see the Lord is. Because the children pass through your womb, there is a very, and they partook, they drank from your body. You have so much authority over them that Satan cannot take from you. And from that heinous lineage that turned their back to light deliberately because of their fraternity with darkness. Now, we have a generation of people that don't even know darkness at all. Because you were the bridge. And those ones are entitled to receive the gifts that Jesus has secured for that line. Very soon, people will no longer remember the name Amadioha. Because you came, because you are here. because you are here. Songo will no longer be remembered in a short while because you are here. He wants to dwell among them. The moment you begin to perceive things from the light of God's big picture, you will thank him in your condition. You will see the ministry that is tied to that your pressure. There is ministry in it. You are a gateway that stopped darkness, stopped a particular religion, stopped it and said, no, it has stopped here. From this lineage of people that are supposed to be bowing down to another God, we have people from among them. Yes. He said, I receive gifts for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Most of you remember your grandfather. Could any positive thing come out of that place? But there was an obstruction. And today you are a pastor. Your children don't even know that God. When your grandfather was having that God, he used to dance to it. The name of that God is no longer known. The shelf life of those gods are extended through worship and memory. But their worship will be cut off, their memory will be forgotten. So we can infiltrate every lineage and position you to be the one that will bear the kings, that will carry the gifts that God has kept for. So that family begins to live according to the records of heaven when your own children were born. If they were in darkness, the reading was like when you go to the hospital and see somebody that just died, you know, his heart is woo. That was how, when they read it, they meet in heaven for that family. Then you showed up. Then the thing started. There's a bigger picture. Some of us will suffer in the process much more than others. But it's in keeping with a picture, with a dream that God sustained on his heart. And we are agencies through which his heart desire can be fulfilled. Some with many tears. But I don't believe you have cried as much as Jesus did. Your own affliction is not as terrible as having 49 strokes of the Roman scourge. That means in all the prices we pay cannot be compared to the one that Jesus paid. And he was the only one that did not benefit from the payment. He just paid. He just paid. There was nothing in it for him, but he paid. There's no way to intellectually understand that other than he was totally empty of self and perfectly full of God. Today we want to pray that God, as I leave this place, I want to be filled with the perspective of the bigger picture, the bigger picture, the bigger picture, the bigger picture. God raises a man, puts an anointing upon him. The anointing can heal people. I was telling somebody about the healing and anointing, that when you are sick, the anointing doesn't work for you. It's either you look for chloroquine quickly. Come and see the Lord. He's good. Come and see the Lord. He's good. There is nothing he cannot do. Come and see the Lord. He's good. Come and see, the Lord is good. Oh, come and see, the Lord is good. There is nothing, there is nothing he can not do. Come and see, the Lord is good. Can we sing with boldness right now? Come and see the Lord is good. Hallelujah.
see the Lord is good. There is nothing that He is not, nothing He cannot do. Come and see the Lord is good. Hallelujah.
Come and see the Lord is good.
Hallelujah.
Come and see the Lord is good.
There is nothing He cannot do.
Generation of people to receive the gift of grace. Can you now stand in the gap for that family and demand that the fullness of that heart desire of the Lord will be fulfilled?
prince of darkness.
Come and see the Lord. Come and see the Lord is good. Come and see the Lord is good. There is nothing he cannot do. Come and see the Lord is good.
Come and see the Lord.